everyone, it's Liz, and welcome to my podcast, Liz Talks Tech, where I talk about all things tech, travel, and more. In this podcast, my goal is to connect with people from all over the world and have casual conversations about what we enjoy the most. So, let's get started. Hello, hello, and welcome back to episode 3. I just want to say thank you all so much for listening. Today, I am very excited because I have a very special guest with me. I have entrepreneur, videographer, photographer, and good friend of mine, Renz Sadiwa. Hello.
Hey, hey, Liz. How's it going?
Good. How are you, Renz?
I'm great. Wow. What an intro. There's like five different things there.
Yeah, because that's everything that you are. You do so many different things, which is awesome. And you're great at all of it.
Thank you.
It's funny.
Well, I'm excited.
I'm excited to have you here. It's funny. I wanted to play the little clapping sound when I introduced you, but then I forgot which button it was on my device. Oh, so here's your claps. Real claps. I'm so excited to have you here, Renz. I know we met like about, I think less than a year ago when I first started my content creation journey. And, you know, you've been an incredible friend. And it's actually funny because we actually have common friends in real life. So Renz and I have met in real life too on several occasions, which has been fun. We just got to hang out. So yeah, Renz, tell me a little bit about how you became a videographer or photographer, or, you know, like, tell me what brought you to content creation on Instagram and on YouTube.
Cool. Yeah. I think I'll take it back all the way to when I actually did start. I started a YouTube channel when I was a kid. I was like maybe 12 years old. I used to play Guitar Hero. And that's how I got started on YouTube. I used to play Guitar Hero and record it.
I love Guitar Hero.
Yeah. Guitar Hero 1, that was like the OG Guitar Hero. I was playing that and I was recording it. So one of my first videos on YouTube, it's there on YouTube still, but one day maybe I'll share it. But
Wait a second. Can I just Google or YouTube Renz Sadiwa Guitar Hero and will I be able to find that video?
There might be a variation of my name, but you'll most definitely find it.
If
you really dig, it's going to be there.
I'm definitely going to do that after this. Anyway, yeah, sorry to interrupt. Tell me more about your dive into Guitar Hero and YouTube.
So I started doing that and I ended up loving, you know, the whole content creation just from the very beginning. So when I was a kid, I would love to play Guitar Hero, play video games, things like that. And one thing that I really loved was Apple products. So I used to watch a lot of YouTube, unboxing, tech. And I remember getting my first iPod Touch. And that one was like, oh man, I remember opening that product, smelling it. And it was like, this is Apple, right? This is like, you know, top tier product. But anyway, that's how I got started. Just like loving tech. Loving, you know, recording and making content. And throughout high school, I also fell in love with fashion. So like, you know, getting into streetwear clothing, things like that. That's what my passion was. Like it just like transformed in high school and kind of turned into this YouTube thing. So I actually started another YouTube channel and it was a fashion channel where I would, you know, go to thrift stores, you know, show my outfits, unboxing hauls, you know, the typical Filipino, you know, buy clothes and things like that. So okay. That's how I got started. And I picked up a camera, recorded videos. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I did that in high school.
Okay, wait, hold on.
College, yeah.
Are the videos still on YouTube? Your fashion videos? Are those also on YouTube?
They're on private. They're on private right now.
Okay, so we can't go and search for those ones.
But I'll share it with you, though.
Like, okay.
I'll share it with you.
Yeah. I would love
and
to
one
see
day
that.
I'll share it with the world for everybody to see how horrible my photos and videos were.
No. Yeah, that's cool, though, that you started out with tech, but then you also sort of went into the fashion world. I mean, yeah, I always admire like your fashion. You're always dressed nicely, and like even your lifestyle shots are always really awesome. But that's cool. I like that. I like hearing. I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, that's how I got started. Not a lot of people know that, because when I started my Instagram page, well, I've had my Instagram for many years. I just never posted on a consistent basis. Mm-hmm. It was more like sporadic, and you know, it was my personal page. That's where my friends and my family were, on my Rensidua page. But now, like ever since I started this tech journey, mm-hmm. you know, we get to collab and connect with other creators, which is amazing.
Yeah, it's been awesome. So mm-hmm. tell me more about, I know you do like videography and some photography on the side, like outside of content creation for Instagram. Yes. So like mm-hmm. yesterday or whatever, I think it was yesterday, you were filming videos, I think for a client, right? Mm-hmm. Using your new Sony A7 IV.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. A7 IV? I was very mm-hmm. jealous. That camera is awesome, and I want one.
Yeah.
But yeah, tell me a little bit about that part of your sort of content creation / like job, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, after high school, when I was doing the YouTube and the, you know, taking videos, all my friends were doing the exact same thing. So we made short films. It transformed into something where I wanted to, you know, use it, you know, take photography and videography as my career. So in college, I took business marketing. So that's my major. And I minored in kinesiology. So I, after college, I kind of, the passion for photography and videography kind of died for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe it was just like, oh, I grew up, you know, when you're in college and your perspective changes, your preference and your passion changes as well.
Yeah.
That's when it kind of died for me, where my photography and my videography, I didn't, you know, it was kind of like lost, mm-hmm. you know, in throughout all that. So after that, you know, I became like a personal trainer. I was, you know, because my minor is kinesiology, I was a personal trainer doing that as my own business, training clients on the side. And I ran into the financial services industry. So I dove into that. So I was a broker. I was wow. an agent. And I met Diane. And that's how I met Diane. We were in the same industry.
Diane is his wife, for those who do not yes. know.
Diane is my wife. That's where we met, in the financial services industry. And ever since then, that's, you know, we got married. And 2020, I would say like throughout 2019, 2020, I felt this longing for that passion for photography, videography. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was kind of diving my feet in, taking some freelance work on the yeah. side, you know, getting my skills to the level that I wanted. And it took time. It really did. It took probably from like 2019 till now to just mm-hmm. like learn everything. But now fast forward to now, that's what my wife and I love doing. Cause we met in the financial services industry, but ironically, my wife also loves content creation. So it was
a perfect match. Yeah.
It's a perfect match. Yeah. So my wife also loves taking photos, love taking videos. And it just kind of transformed into this idea where when 2020 happened and the pandemic happened, we were like looking and taking a look at ourselves. We're like, what can we do? You know, mm-hmm. what can we do where we can, you know, fuel this passion that, you know, for photos and videos, and how can we help people with that? Mm-hmm. And so that's where we are now, where we're just taking clients, when it comes to like weddings, portraiture, and even like social media services, which we do as well.
Okay, so this is the perfect segue, since you're talking a little bit about, you know, how you met Diane and how you two share a passion. I know it's, I don't know if it's on the down low or if you haven't really officially announced it, but yeah. I know you posted it on your Instagram and I know you have a logo yeah. for it. Tell me yes. a little bit about R&D Media. That's Is that the name of sort of your brand for you and Diane?
Yes, yes. So R&D Media, that's our official company name. And big shout outs to George Paolo, by the way. He designed the logo. We went back and forth for a couple of weeks and absolutely loved the logo.
Yes.
And that, you know, the logo that we have right now, that's made by George. So shout outs to George.
George also designed my logo. So George is awesome.
There you go.
If you need a logo, George is your man.
Yeah. But yeah, it just stemmed from this idea where, you know, we really wanted to take it seriously. I think it was time for us to, you know, really hone in and feel this passion that we have for photos and videos. So yeah, we just started it. We literally just started it maybe like a couple weeks ago. So right when our logo finished, we had some portfolio already, like some wedding work that I did. And Diane also is a social media. My wife is a social media manager.
Mm-hmm.
So she manages like different clients, whether it's wine. I'm not allowed to say other companies, but
okay.
she has managed this, some other wine companies, food, restaurants. So food photography, that's what she's really into as well. But
cool.
Yeah.
So does Diane do the social media marketing for those, like those restaurants or those wineries and brands, or does she do like the photography and stuff like that?
She does all of them.
She does everything. So,
she does everything. Yeah.
Okay.
So she manages this restaurant. It's called Barsha Wine.
Yes.
And it's the most amazing Tunisian food. I would definitely recommend it if you live out here in LA or in California. It's in Manhattan Beach. It's called Barsha Wine. And my wife has been managing that restaurant for quite some time now. And we take photos. We take photos and videos for them. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of like what we do on a regular basis. We do a lot of things,
okay.
But that's my wife's passion. She loves being in the back end, you know, like, you know, managing things and stuff. I'm just like the doer. I think that's what makes our relationship so great is that she's the planner and I'm like the doer.
Okay.
It's really fun. It's really fun when you get to work with a spouse or even just in content creation in general, right? Like if you feel alone, then you're most likely not going to be inspired or motivated.
Right.
But when you have like a community, right? Like the tech community is amazing, right? We're all there for each other and it really inspires you. So that way, when you feel down, you always know how to lift yourself back up, right?
Yeah, I agree. Very inspiring, Renz. I love it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So tell me about, do you plan on, I know you have like a separate full-time job almost, right? Mm-hmm. Like in the insurance, right? Insurance something.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But do you plan on making content creation and R&D media like your full-time work?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, 100%. That's definitely the goal. But the insurance, you know, we've been in the insurance industry now for about 5 years. Well, I've been in it for 5 years.
Okay.
Diane has been in it for probably 2.5 to 3.
Okay.
And our godparents are in the industry as well. So we help manage their page. We do a lot of projects for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like when it comes to like interviews and corporate type stuff, that's us. But we love it. We love being in the industry as well. Cause we also love helping people, you know, that's what Diane and I love doing, whether it's, you know, through photos and videos or even like through insurance. Cause you know, a lot of people are getting sick. They need that. Right.
Yeah.
So for us, we're always trying to provide value in some way or form and use our skills to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we've been in the insurance industry we love it. We absolutely love it. Actually, our Dubai trip was our company trip.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. You're really good at helping me segue into other aspects of the conversation. I had a couple more questions for you about content creation, but since you just mentioned Dubai, I would love to just jump there and we can talk about content creation after.
Sure.
So another big part, I think, of your YouTube and and just your brand in general is you're kind of like lifestyle. I know you've done a couple, I know Diane has done a couple vlogs on YouTube. And you guys recently went to Dubai. And, you know, part of this podcast is to talk about tech, travel, and more. So I would love to hear a little bit more about your experience in Dubai. I have obviously never been. And it looked like an absolutely amazing experience. And then you mentioned that it was also it came about because of your day job with the insurance industry. So tell me about how you accomplished that goal of getting to Dubai, and then what was your favorite part about being in Dubai?
Sure. Yeah, great. So in 2020, we had a company trip. It was a contest. So you had to have a certain paid business, certain amount of paid business in that whole year. And we found out in, you know, end of 2019 that it was going to be in Dubai. And if you hit this certain amount of paid business in a whole year, the company will pay for your trip, like airfare, hotel, food. I mean, you name it. And it's not just like, I know some company, I've worked with other companies too, that will take you on trips, but then you come back with like a 1099, right? You have to pay taxes. So like, you know, instead of going on a trip, you're tripping, right? From the way back because of the taxes that you're going to pay. But this was absolutely free, right? Wow. Our CEO is very generous. But yeah, that was our goal. So 2020, we set that goal. I remember we wrote it on our diary. We said, we put Dubai 2021, and we hit a goal. Every time we hit our goals or, you know, getting to that goal, we just kept marking it down. I think that's the power of like writing things. That's what Diane and I do all the time. But yeah, that's pretty much what we did in 2020. We did a lot of our business through Zoom, meeting with clients, you know, just helping them with their insurance needs, whether it's life, health, right? We help them with that. And yeah, so the end of 2020, by December, we were able to hit our trip. We were able to qualify for our trip. And we were so happy when that happened. But at the same time, we're kind of like, will it happen? Because, you know, pandemic is going on, travel restrictions. But we were able to still go, which was incredible. Yeah, we just came back. We left December, I believe. December 9. It was a 10-day trip. We left December 9 and we came back around probably like a couple of days before Christmas Eve.
Okay.
So yeah, we were in Dubai for 10 days. And the first thing that I noticed when I was there in Dubai is how clean it is.
Really?
Yes, it's so clean. I mean, I live in for the listeners that are listening, I live in downtown LA, okay?
Downtown like, LA listeners, it's not clean. It's like the opposite of clean.
Yes, it's like the opposite of clean. It's like trash everywhere. And compared to Dubai, wow, it was like night and day.
Wow.
And I never forgot it. I mean, it was a 15-hour flight. It was really long. I ended up watching like 7 movies.
Oh my gosh.
Like Harry Potter was on. I was like, okay, cool. We got like how many movies of Harry Potter I can watch?
You didn't sleep?
I couldn't sleep. I really couldn't sleep. Mm. Yeah. I probably slept like maybe 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours before
that's exhausting.
Landed. But anyways, yeah. So I could never forget just landing, right? Because when you land, you kind of get to see a little bit of the skyline. And like as we were landing, I look out the window and you could see like the tallest building in the world, which is Burj Khalifa. And it was so surreal, like being there. Just because it's such an innovative city that you don't really get to see. I know Singapore is up there too, right? With like advanced and like obviously Japan, right? But there was something about Dubai that felt more along our line, like tech. Right? I looked at Dubai and I said, wow, like this is the tech industry, right?
Yeah.
Like everything is so cool. We landed. We went to our hotel after that, and our hotel was right in front of the Burj Al Arab, which is like one of the most expensive hotels, like the Burj Al Arab. And the crazy part that I learned is that that hotel, the Burj Al Arab, is that in order for you to like get in the hotel, you actually need to take a helicopter to the top.
No way.
The top of the Burj Al Arab is the lobby.
Wait, so you had to take a helicopter up?
Not in our hotel.
Oh, the other hotel. Got it. My bad. Sorry.
The other hotel, yeah. The Burj Al Arab hotel.
Got it.
Yeah. You had to take a helicopter to the top to get into the lobby.
That's insane.
It's just insane. Yeah. So, yeah, we did that. And then it was so many things because it was about 10 days. So we did a lot of, we had a lot of excursions. Our company had like an itinerary each day.
Wow.
Which is really cool. But they never told us where we were going.
Oh.
like it was just like meet here at this location. So our first day was really cool. It was like a welcome lunch. You know, we got to meet all of our colleagues and friends. And the fun part about going to Dubai too is what we went with a lot of our you know, colleagues. We went with my godparents, a couple of close friends of ours too. So it was really fun to be there with people.
Yeah. Go ahead.
But yeah, other than that, I mean, it was just incredible. I think the people, the customer service is definitely like top notch, I would say, compared to here. And my wife and I, we made this like joke because we're at the mall and the workers there they take their job really seriously. Mm-hmm. Like you go to any restaurant there, you go to any like coffee shop, people are always like trying to cater to you.
That's good.
Yeah. It's like, and Diane was like, man, it's like they have a gun to their head.
No.
Like, they're just waiting for us to, you know.
Oh my gosh.
You know, to help us, right? But yeah, it was really fun. You know, we spent a couple of days there, and it was, looking back at it now, I'm definitely happy we were able to experience it. But also at the same time, taking that perspective, right? Taking in the perspective of a different country.
Yeah. Definitely. I love that. And I love that the reason you were in Dubai was because you and Diane set a goal and you worked toward that goal and you eventually made it happen. So when you were talking about how, you know, you were landing in Dubai and you saw the giant building and it felt like super surreal. I mean, yes, it's a beautiful country and that's what you're looking at, but also it's seeing your goals come to life, like you meeting your goal, like you passed that finish line. And I love that. And I think that's awesome. And I also think it just goes to show that setting goals is really important, whether it be for, you know, your regular day job or for content creation and, you know, so on and so forth. So I do have a question for you with regard to your Dubai trip. Just one last question about it. I think you mentioned you were editing a vlog for it or a video. Is that in the works? Is it coming? Because, you know, people are going to hear this and they're going to be like, I want to see more of Renz's trip. Because I know you posted some photos, a couple reels in Dubai, but like, we want to see you there in Dubai if you took footage there. No pressure.
People are saying pics or it didn't happen, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's in the works. I would actually like to plug in my wife's channel.
Okay.
She finished her vlogs, which is pretty much the footage that I took. She took some of it and, you know, used it for her vlog. So if you want to go see a little bit of my wife's content, you can go check it out. You can just search Diane Bernal on YouTube. But yeah, her first two vlogs are already up there. Okay. But I'm working on mine. It's going to be out.
Okay.
I've been working diligently on it and kind of making sure everything is good. But it's definitely there. It's definitely in the works. I'm excited to share it with you guys.
So now that you've talked about it, you have to release it eventually. Because, you know, sometimes we have those projects where we start and we don't finish. Mm-hmm. I'm like super guilty of it because life happens, and content creation, for me at least, it's my second job, I guess, if mm-hmm. I want to call it a job. So sometimes it gets put on the back burner. So now it's out in the open. Like even this podcast, for so long, I was like, I'm going to start a podcast. I got all this awesome gear. Like I'm all set up. And then it took me like 3 months to finally record my first episode, you know? Yeah. So I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to like finally have the podcast up and running. And I'm excited to have you here too.
Yeah. But you did it though, Liz. That's the thing. It's like, yes, we think about it, right? But the true separator is you actually doing it.
Yeah.
And that's what I admire about you is that you're very consistent in what you do with your page and mm-hmm. your content, right? That goes to say that every content creator goes through the same thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we have doubts. We have imposter syndrome. We mm-hmm. have, perfectionism too, right? Like, mm-hmm. everything looks good before you actually do it, even thinking about it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I want to do this, but then what if this happens and this, right? And you start like drawing up different scenarios, and I think that's what really cripples us.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Right. That's the crippling side of content creation too. Is like you kind of crunch yourself into a fetal position and like I don't want to do anything anymore, right?
Yeah. But, well, and that's true. Yeah. But also you have to remember like the reason for a lot of us, the big reason why we're doing this is because we have a passion for it. Yeah. And so, you have to find the balance between it being something that you love and you're enjoying versus something mm-hmm. that you're like, that's crippling you. And that's, making you feel like anxious and, stressed out. Because I know like for a while when I was, maybe like 6 months ago or so, I felt myself being really overwhelmed with feeling like I needed to post every day in order to be successful, but that's not the case. Like, yes, consistency is important. I agree. But you don't have to post every day. You don't have to kill yourself over creating a perfect photo. Like, do what you love and keep doing it. And, it's like what you said. It's like the Nike slogan. Just do it.
Do it.
If you're thinking about starting a YouTube channel, just do it. It's freaking hard. Don't get me wrong. It's really hard. You have to have like the goal and desire and like basically the work ethic to do a YouTube channel. I think it's really difficult and I'm struggling with it myself. But if you want to do it, just do it. And if you fail, that's okay. You'll get back up and you'll try again. You'll get better.
No, and I think a lot of people share that same, sentiment of like, it's hard. It's difficult because it's not just content creation. It's like, being a photographer, being a videographer. I mean, if you really think about it, that's what content creation is, right? Taking photos, taking videos.
Editing
and not only
them.
That, you have to editing them. That's like another game too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Managing a page is like managing a business.
Yeah.
That's how I think of Instagram, right? It's your business.
Yeah.
It's like opening the door to your work, to your services.
Mm-hmm.
So like what time are you going to open your business? I mean, for us, right, we post every day like at 6, 7, right?
Yeah, that's
so right? So that's the time we open our business. And that's how I look at Instagram, like not just as a means to create, because it is an outlet to create,
mm-hmm.
but it's also at the same time a business where, you can potentially scale it. Because a lot of people, they start just on Instagram and has become their full-time job, full-time mm-hmm. creator, being a full-time creator and opening these opportunities for yourself to feel even more of your passions.
Yeah.
Right. Not just on Instagram, but, YouTube and other things like that. Right. I think that's really important to know that, it is a creative outlet. But it's also at the same time your business where
if you want to make it your business,
if you want to make it. But also at the same time, don't be too hard on yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree.
Don't be too hard on your work. Right? Don't be too hard on your work and don't be too hard on the expectations. Because I think for me, that's my mindset now where I'm like trying not to expect so much
mm-hmm.
and just put stuff that I like. Like for the longest time, I always used to worry about like the aesthetic, the feed, like mm-hmm. making the feed look good. But now I'm just like, oh, I'm just gonna post it. Oh, it doesn't look good on the grid right now, but it's okay. Like, I like it, I like it. I love it. I think that's really important to have fun.
Right? Exactly. Like you don't want to, like, yes, if you want to think of it as a business, that's great. But also you don't want it to lose, you don't want to lose the fun out of it. You don't want to, you know, that is super important. So you were mentioning, you know, you kind of gave like a business perspective of content creation. And, you know, I know that you have been pretty successful in getting paid brand collaborations and working with brands. So I wanted to ask you, because I feel like based on what I know about you, you're pretty successful at this, but what is your strategy for building long lasting relationships with a brand so that you can do further work for them? Because I think one thing right now that I struggle with, and that I'm sure other people, other creators struggle with, is, you know, you work with the brand once and maybe it's a paid agreement, but then you never really hear from them again. Or you follow up with them, but then it doesn't like become fruitful and it doesn't become like a long lasting relationship. So do you have any advice for creators who are in that sort of realm or anything like that?
Yeah. I always take a look at collaborations as again, like running a business, right? I always equate it to our insurance business, right? Because in insurance, you have clients, and in order to keep your clients happy, what do you have to do? Right? Follow up with them, right? Follow up with them, making, you know, checking in on them, right? Checking in, asking what they need, right? Hey, do you need any of, you know, do you need anything from me? Right? Just not treating them as a business transaction, but more as a relationship transaction, right? Whether it's paid or not, because we all know being in this space, we do a lot of free stuff, right? We do a lot of exchanges and things like that. But I think the most important thing is relationship building. When it comes to brand collaborations, that's what I always do. And I always have a philosophy where I under promise and I over deliver. Right? They ask first for this, but then I'll throw in extra.
Okay.
Right? That way, when I do email them back on like a follow-up to do another one, they're going to remember, oh, Renz didn't just do this.
Yeah.
He did extra. He did extra because, you know, he over-delivered or did more than what was expected. And I think that's really important when it comes to brands, because that's when they'll remember you and they'll want to work with you. And in the beginning, yes, there were times where I did some free stuff at first, but again, even the free stuff, I was under promising and over delivering, right? And it eventually, that mindset eventually will open more doors, because not only are you having that mindset of over delivering, but in that mindset of over delivering, you're also improving your skills too, because you have that mindset, oh, I have to do this, I have to over deliver. And how do I over deliver? Oh man, I have to make sure I improve my skills. I do the very best, right? Do the very best. And yeah, just relationship building, even with the brands that I work with, I always follow up. Hey, are there anything that I can help you with? Because at the end of the day, it's you know, not the mindset of what can I take,
right?
But really, what can I give?
Right.
What can I give to this brand that I think would benefit them? So that's always my mindset, whether it's, you know, tech brands or even clients of ours that we've worked with. It's always that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that, because it just shows that you're willing to put in that extra work so that it pays off in the future, I guess. And I guess that's not really, I mean, I 100% agree with like the whole building a relationship. I think that's super important when you're starting out with a brand, especially for new creators. But over promising or under promising, over delivering. Yeah. Under promise, over deliver. I used to always say that about Apple because Apple always under promises, over delivers. Like if you order something from them and it says it's going to come in 4 days, it's going to come in like sooner. It's going to come in two or 3 days. So it's going to be exciting. Yeah. But yeah, that, I appreciate that. That's definitely helpful advice, I think, especially for people who are wanting to treat content creation more like a business. And, mm-hmm. you know, because you have that business background and you have that experience, that's why you're successful. Mm-hmm. And that's why you're good at what you do.
Thank you. No, thank you, Liz. I appreciate that.
Of course.
And it's not just like, you know, stuff like that. It's like the little stuff too. Like for example, if like a tech company will send you a product, like do you respond, like do you email them back? Hey, I received the product. Thank mm-hmm. you so much. It's those little things yeah. that will keep a brand coming back, because they'll see, we didn't just send a product to Renz and he forgot about us.
Right.
You know, we sent a product to Renz and he acknowledged and thanked us.
Yeah.
And it's just like those little things that will turn into bigger things mm-hmm. that I believe will really make the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. I 100% agree. And I love that. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely mm-hmm. going to, I do implement some of those strategies, but I think I need to do mm-hmm. it more. So I appreciate the advice. Always learning. Yeah. Always learning.
Yeah, thank you.
okay, well, we're sort of getting to the end of the episode here.
Yeah.
But one thing before we go, I do want to ask you, what are your future plans, your future goals for content creation? Like right now, what are you working on? What should we expect from you in, you know, the next 6 months to a year?
So... that's a great question and great segue, because this year I do want to implement a different strategy, whether on Instagram or YouTube. Mm-hmm. But this year I definitely want to focus more on YouTube.
Okay.
You know, putting more videos, whether it's reviews or travel and vlogs. Those are really what my wife and I want to do. Mm-hmm. Because she's like, man, you post so much tech. You need to post more about your life and yourself. And for me, I always like being behind the camera. I'm not really the one to like, oh, I want to be like in front.
Yeah.
I like to be behind the scenes and stuff at times. But yeah, just putting more of my life on my page and more on YouTube as well. So that's kind of the mindset for this year, is just focusing more on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Definitely want to take YouTube to, so I have a goal for YouTube this year, which is about 50 videos.
Okay.
I have like a Google sheet where I have like different ideas to, and I just list out as many as I can until I hit 50. And okay. So far I'm a 49 out of 50 right now. So
okay.
I need to get it going.
Yeah, you have to execute them.
Yeah.
But you can,
I mean, yeah.
You can do it. You mm-hmm. totally can do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think so too. The one thing with YouTube is that you really have to set time mm-hmm. to just do it. It's so difficult, because most of the time, I mean, I've done days where I would shoot and edit the same day, mm-hmm. and it would take so long. It mm-hmm. would take roughly like 6-7 hours, right? Seven hours just to, you know, edit, shoot, sometimes even 10, 12 hours. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You stay up all night editing and coming up with ideas. So yeah, that's what I really want to take it, is to do more YouTube. But what can they expect? Just more of me, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. Just showing a little bit more of myself and my life.
Yeah. Well, I love that. We definitely want to see more of Renz, more mm-hmm. lifestyle shots, more YouTube videos and all that fun stuff. It's mm-hmm. funny, as you were talking and you were explaining, you know, how time consuming YouTube is, it really resonated with me, because that's one of my goals too. One of my goals is to like focus more on YouTube. But I think right now, at the first half of the year, I'm trying to at least reach 10K on my Instagram. And then shift my focus over to YouTube, because I don't know, 10K is just that magic number. And I think once I get there, I'm like, okay, now I'm good. I can start really moving my efforts to YouTube. But I was just telling my partner, Cassie, yesterday that YouTube is just so time consuming. Like you can't just take a photo, edit it, and it's done. You know, with Instagram, I can put something out in an hour or two if I need to. With YouTube, it takes more hours. Like you said, like 8 to 10 hours. And that's if you have 8 to 10 hours to just dedicate to it.
Yeah.
Most of us don't. Most of us have other things to do. So, yeah, I don't know. What do you have any advice for people who want to do more YouTube but don't necessarily have the time? I mean, I know you're juggling a lot right now, but what are your plans to implement your goal of 50 videos?
Yes. So yeah, great question. I think that is a great question for everyone to, I guess, get a perspective on. But I think the most important thing, especially for me, and I get a lot of help from my wife for sure with this, but it's really time management. Time management, time blocking. If it matters to you, you're going to make time for it. I think that's my mindset. If it really matters, then you're going to put the time, no matter, you know, what it is, right? So for me, it's just time blocking. I've tried to implement a system, because when I first started doing YouTube videos, I would just take like the weekend when I would like have a day off. I would just take that whole day to shoot, edit, and upload, right?
Yeah.
So, and that was just time consuming. Because for me, like, you know, we live in downtown, right? We live in a 2-bedroom, you know, a loft. And for us, we don't have the luxury of having our own studio. So I have to set everything up. I have to set the lights up. I have to set, you know, everything up. And that itself takes maybe 30 to 35 minutes just setting everything up, right?
By then, you're just tired, yeah.
By then, you're just tired. You're gassed, right? Like setting up the tripod, setting up all this stuff, right? So for me, that's where I really, my wife like really helped me out, where she was like, okay, you need to time block this out. Like if you need to shoot content, do it all in one day, like just shoot the content. Then take maybe another hour or two throughout the whole week to edit. Right.
Okay.
And then, maybe another day to like do the finishing touches, like edit, uploading. You know, managing the thumbnail and the tags and whatnot, or descriptions. So like spreading it out instead of like boom in one day. Because at least if you spread it out, it's not as bad, because like you can, you know, take 1 hour one day or 2 hours in one day and then kind of spread it out throughout the week.
Makes it more manageable.
Makes it more manageable instead of like doing it all at once. But I think the most important, you know, thing is just managing your time and having some sort of system. Because for me, as long as I have a system in place, then there's no thinking about it.
Because
when you don't have a system, I feel like you really think about a lot of stuff.
Right? And you spend, you waste your time thinking about things.
You waste your time thinking, and you waste your time, like just, doing things on the fly, right? I catch myself doing that sometimes. I'm like, oh, I have an idea for a video. Oh, let's just go shoot right now. But I didn't take the time to script. I didn't take the time to create a shot list. I didn't create the time to even planning out what music I'm going to use, right? Yeah. And you end up just like doing it, and you're like, oh, what's my shots? And then you're just thinking on the fly, and it takes up more time.
You're so right.
It takes
that's
up
happening
more time.
To me right now. I filmed an A-roll for a video, but I didn't plan it. I just wanted to just do it.
Yeah.
And now I'm like kicking myself because I don't know what to do next, and I don't have time. Anyways.
And I know that you're action driven, Liz, and I know that about you. Like, I think that's your personality, right? I think that's why you and I are you know, we connect.
Yeah.
Because we're action driven. Well, I want things done right now, right?
Yeah.
Now. There's no time in the world. Let's do it now.
Yeah.
But thank God my wife is not an action driven person. She's very structured, which keeps me structured. Because imagine if like my wife was also we'd just be like, do that, right? It's gonna be pandemonium.
Yeah.
So she keeps the structure for me, and she told me, okay, I know you like to do things on the fly and spontaneous, but you can't, right? You're gonna get gassed, and you're gonna get burned out.
Yeah.
And that's happened many times.
Oh man. Well, even though you may sometimes get burned out, you are still being successful. And I'm glad that you have Diane there to, you know, be there with you on your journey to all your goals.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Well, why don't you tell the listeners where they can find you, whether it be on Instagram, YouTube, or maybe even your R&D media. Tell us where we can find you, and I'll be able to link it in the description as well.
Cool. Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Ren Sadiwa. And then you can also find me on YouTube, same name, Ren Sadiwa. And if you want, you guys can also follow our brand new page, our R&D media page. It's at R&D Media Co. And you can find us there as well.
Perfect. Well, Renz, thank you so much for joining me on my third episode of Liz Talks Tech. I really, really appreciate it. If you enjoyed this podcast, please give it a listen. And, well, you already listened to it. Sorry. Please give it a rating on whatever platform you're listening to. And don't forget to share the podcast with someone you think may enjoy it too. And finally, if you're interested in being a guest on the show like Renz was today, shoot me a DM on Instagram @LizLovesTech. Thank you so much. Talk to you guys again soon. Bye.